This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Oh, don't worry about me and Tom. We're just sitting around talking about Miami Vice. It's Brock and Salk with Wassel and for Tom today. These are the things that happen when Tom and I get together for too long. This hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. We're talking about some of the musical acts and musicians who portrayed characters in Miami Vice.
Frank Zappa was on there as a drug
dealer,
very famously.
Yes, that sounds right. Yep. And I think Phil Collins, did he do something or is just coming in the air tonight from that?
I'd be surprised if he didn't, because he acted a lot.
I think he was in there. I think he might have even been in the Miami Vice movie that they did back then. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you got Glenn Frey, Ted Nugent. And Ted Nugent, if I'm not mistaken, was the guy that blew up Sonny's first Ferrari, the Spider, so that he then had to get the Testarossa.
Did he use a bazooka?
He did. Some sort of rocket launcher bazooka thing. Yeah.
They don't use enough bazooka anymore, do they?
No, and I can really only think of it in a couple movies. It features heavily in, I guess it's a rocket launcher, that features heavily in Commando, because the girl shoots it the wrong way.
Okay, yeah.
I think it also...
Falling down. And he shoots it down the manhole.
Yes, so there's maybe three movies that feature a bazooka or rocket launcher in some fashion.
Is Miami Vice the next show to get remade?
Hopefully not.
Because the movie that they did, that's terrible. I mean, Jamie Foxx and Colin Farrell.
Get out of here.
If you reboot it with those two same characters, now? Like in their 60s and 70s, maybe I'm interested.
You're in. Okay.
But like two retired detectives.
Zito and Zwicek and everybody? Or just the two of them?
Well, as many guys as you can find are still
alive. Would you want Lieutenant Castillo? Would you want Edward James Olmos?
Yes, I'd want it. Well, I'd watch for an episode. By the way, have you seen the new Cobra Kai thing, the Karate Kid thing?
No.
Dude. That is good. It's really, I give it my highest recommendation.
Really?
I'm not into reboots or remakes, but that one works. If you care at all about what happened to those characters, it's good.
Okay.
Check it out.
But like, is it picking up on where the first one left off or
no.
where the third one left off?
It's picking up 34 years later.
Okay. I guess I don't remember anything after the second one.
You don't need to know. Well,
you don't need to know.
I only
need
remember
you don't
the
really
second
need to
one
know.
Where he went over to Japan and he had to do the thing with the drum that you would like spin back and
right,
forth.
Exactly.
That's kind of the last thing I remember.
They don't really mention
from their
that.
Universe.
No, this is Johnny and what's his name? LaRusso going at it.
Oh, Johnny and LaRusso back again?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
But the
are
rub
they still
is,
fighting for the love of Elizabeth Shue?
No, but she's mentioned.
Really? But not in it.
The rub in this whole thing is that you root for everybody.
The villain is no longer the villain.
Right.
You've seen that, right? That somebody had that take on, it's a supercut of different scenes from the original Karate Kid that is attempting to show that Daniel is the bad guy and Johnny is the good guy.
They kind of play that out a little
really?
Bit. Really? A little
the,
bit.
The idea behind the little thing, it's worth watching if you can find it, is that essentially he's come and tried to steal Johnny's girl,
yeah.
and he plays all these pranks on him, and Johnny's just an innocent victim who's looking for revenge himself against Daniel.
Yes, it makes LaRusso out to be a punk.
Really?
A young punk.
Interesting. So is this on YouTube?
It's on YouTube Red. They give you the first couple episodes for free, then they make you sign up.
It's a show.
It's a 10-episode show.
Oh, really?
It's great. I watched the whole thing in one night.
Interesting. But not the same actors.
Wow, Tom, that's aggressive.
Huh? Same actors or not the same actors?
No, same actors.
Oh, so what's his name's in it?
Yeah, it's Ralph Macchio.
Ralph Macchio is available?
Billy Zabka. What do you think he was doing? Nothing.
I'm just kidding. All right, cool. Well, maybe I'll watch
Remaking that My
point.
Cousin Vinny.
and The Outsiders.
Right, The Outsiders.
He's great.
With the rest of those guys.
All right. Hey, we talked yesterday, Tom. You weren't in with us, but we talked yesterday about Jerry DePoto, and I said it's time to extend Jerry DePoto. And both he and Scott Servais are in the final year of their 3-year contracts, and I think some of it has to do with what they've done so far and earning some of the trust of the organization, of us, of the fans, of the players, et cetera. And a lot of it has to do with what's next for this team. And specifically for Jerry DePoto, what he's going to need to navigate over the course of these next couple of weeks and months heading up to the trade deadline, where if the team continues to win, he's got to kind of walk a fine line and find a way to use the $12 million, maybe even more than that, that you save from Cano, and bring in some players that are going to help you win right now and make the playoffs, but do it without giving up much because you just don't have a lot. Your cupboard is kind of threadbare. So. I think in order to put him in a position where he needs to do that, you got to give him the backing of the organization and tell him you believe in him and authorize him to go out there and make the types of deals that you need to make. Because, by the way, if you end up falling out of it, I think you want him authorized to go sell and figure out the best way to do what's good in the organization's best interest long term. And why would he do that if he has no deal beyond the next couple of months? So I personally would re-sign Jerry DePoto. That was our argument from yesterday. Second part of that conversation, though, is about Scott Servais. And when I think of DePoto and what he's done thus far, the number one thing I think he's gotten right has been Scott Servais. And I'll be the first to admit, and I think Scott would probably admit, that there's been a slow learning curve as an on-field manager, and that it took him a little bit of time, especially his rookie year, and it got a little better last year. And I think by this year, he's been a really good in-game manager. Beyond that, I think the real skill that he brings to the table is what he does with the team in general, which is probably as, if not more, important for a manager in baseball today. And I think the fact that this team is 10 games over 500 right now, despite all of the injuries they've had and all of the controversy and things around them, is a direct testament to him. And not just what he's done this year, but what he's built over the previous 2 years leading up to it, to gain the trust of the guys on his team, to get to help them work together and kind of band together themselves. I think he, in many ways, is the perfect manager for what they seem to go through here in Seattle. And I don't see any reason why you wouldn't extend him as soon as possible.
Yeah, I can get on board with extending Servais. I think he's done enough over the first couple of years, really for all the reasons you just said there, where I'm comfortable, whether DePoto's here next year or not, whether half this team is here next year, I'm comfortable going forward with Scott Servais. He doesn't do what, you know what it is about a baseball manager? He doesn't do enough wrong that jumps out to me where I say, man, this guy's going to sink us, or he just doesn't get it. Maybe there's a little bit of a learning curve. I don't really have as good of an eye for that type of thing. We talk about situations like last night. Should he have gone out and grabbed Nicasio? I think what he did last night by not making that move was fine. So I'm good with him going forward. DePoto, I think I got to wait, though.
Really?
Yeah, because...
Well, I'll tell you this. Just before you make your argument, understand that if you were the president of the Mariners and you were to extend Scott Servais and not Jerry DePoto, you would be sending a very clear message.
I think you have to wait on both, to be honest. But if you're asking me, who am I comfortable just going forward with Scott Servais, yes, I am. But I'm of the mind that you have to wait on both. I don't think that a 29-19 start is enough to prove to me that, you know what, both of these guys have this figured out.
Well, let's
with a baseball manager, I think you can just sort of trust in him, fine, yeah, let it play out. But with the general manager, I'm not convinced, because if he has to sell and start this whole thing over, what proof is there that he can do that?
There's no specific proof that he can or can't. But
right.
I mean, I think
so.
In
you're
general,
just so is it a coin flip?
I mean, to a point. But I think in general, I think you like what I like anyway. What he's done,
I like him too. But I don't know that he's
and the intelligence and specifically the creativity that he brings to the table. And so, open it up here 206-421-3776. I think one of the things that jumps out to me about DePoto, and yesterday you saw it on display. Marco Gonzalez is a pretty good example of Jerry DePoto. Everybody thought that was a bad trade. Myself included. I think almost everybody looked at it and said, wait, you're trading your one chip for who? For a guy coming off Tommy John who's been bad in the majors and doesn't have any options left? Why? And I think DePoto was very creative about knowing the issues his team has. Is spending $55 million on four guys who are aging, and Seager, Hernandez, Cruz, and Cano, and needing to find a way to rebuild the pitching staff heading into this year, all the while knowing that it was going to be too expensive to do so through free agency in the offseason. And by the way, most of those free agents who signed have not been good. And so he looked at it and said, all right, I'm going to build this thing through the trade market at the trade deadline. And that's how you end up with Leak. That's how you end up with Erasmo. Unfortunately, he's been hurt. And that's how you end up with Marco Gonzalez, three guys that were available for longer term success. I think that's actually a pretty darn impressive way of rebuilding a starting rotation that thus far has been one of the highlights of this team, as odd as that sounds.
So far, that trade does look pretty good, and I remember you actually texted me when I was in Cape Cod about that trade.
Well, because it seemed awful everybody.
It seemed weird, but again, you're making a decision.
In the organization who thought it was bad.
Understood, but you're making a decision on May 24th here about how good you think Gonzalez is going to be and how good of a trade you think that is. But if you extend him right now, you kind of are.
Not really. I'm not saying that that's a good trade. I'm saying that the thought process behind it makes a lot of sense. And I know that at the end of the day, GMs are judged based on the results, not just on the process. But you also have to look at everything else that is surrounding it, and some of the problems he inherited from Jack, problems in the farm system, problems with the types of players and contracts you had at the major league level, and look at his creativity and his ability to do some things differently. And I guess I just respect a lot of that. They're not all going to work. In fact, some of his haven't. Right. I mean, we can point to trades that haven't worked. We can point to ones that have.
And worked really well, by the way. I mean, with the Segura Haniger trade's one of the best potentially in the history of the team. So I'll give him mad props on that, as I say.
And identifying somebody in Haniger that's a breakout star ready to happen
exactly,
that nobody else seemed to really care too much about. So I it was interesting. Yesterday, there wasn't a lot of debate. It seemed like, I don't know, 80% of the callers were in favor of extending Jerry DePoto. Mm-hmm. And yet I was surprised to see a lot of the response was, yeah, I would do that, but no way on Scott's service.
Really?
And not everybody, obviously, but I was really surprised. I'd be interested to hearing from some of that group, because I'd be real curious what it is about Scott that would make you uncomfortable with a longer term extension. I think he's been really good, and I generally like the way he's handled the team on the field. Certainly not enough bad to fire him, and off the field, I think he's done an incredible job with the way this group has come together. 206-421-3776, the number. Brian is in Bellevue. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, guys. I would view Jerry and Scott as a unit, and if I'm ownership, I would absolutely extend them. The most important trust relationship here is between ownership and a fan base that is disillusioned by so much failure. And so when John Stanton comes on your show and says Jerry DePoto is the smartest GM in baseball and then has him on a lame duck contract, that breeds mistrust. They need to get consistent. And if they believe in this guy to the point where he's the smartest GM in baseball, they need to renew the guy and they need to renew his manager.
I think that's a really, really smart way of looking at it. I'll play you the sound. This is one of the things John Stanton had said about Jerry.
You know, Jerry's got an incredibly creative mind. I mean, I've spent most of my career in business, and I look at folks that can kind of turn their businesses around like a Rubik's Cube and think about things in every different way. That's the way Jerry's mind works.
That's one of the nice compliments he paid to Jerry, and I would agree.
Like if
that's
a Rubik's Cube?
Well, turn it around like a Rubik's Cube, yeah. Look at it from different angles and
mix
things
up. Take the stickers off and solve it like that.
You ever solve a Rubik's Cube?
Never.
Me neither.
Like, the world record is like 4.5 seconds.
How's that possible? How can you even turn it fast enough?
Because you don't actually solve it. You just like follow a certain steps.
That's kind of weak.
You know what? I need to say something.
Yeah.
And I like John Stanton, and I like where we are right now with this organization, but it's very tough for me to hold these guys, to take them what they say at face value like that. Oh, just because I heard him say in the media one day that he thinks such and sucks about Jerry DePoto, like, so what?
So you're saying that about anybody,
essentially. Yeah, about anybody. Like, I mean, of course he's going to say that publicly right now because he wants to make himself look good, right, for having this guy.
I don't know if that's true.
You want to back your guys. While they're there, you want to back your guys. That's just, it's part of PR. So if things go south later, I'm not going to turn around to John Stanton and be like, but you said this about him.
You got to make a move. Right, you're saying you put your money where your mouth is. Your actions are going to speak a whole lot louder than whatever you say. And their actions so far that they have not extended either Jerry or Scott. I'm surprised, though, and I do think it'll probably happen. I'm going to guess sometime before the All-Star break. I would think that they end up getting something done first with Jerry and then eventually with Scott. But I hope it does. And I keep looking at what service has done specifically. If I had to give credit to the Mariners' 10-game over 500 start right now today, and I had to start drawing a blame chart, but in the positive, a credit chart.
Credit chart, yeah. The pie chart of credit.
I think Scott's number one.
Sure.
I think he takes the biggest share of the credit for what the Mariners have done so far this year. And after that, it's probably Edwin Diaz, number two. And then we'll start going through with Segura and Haniger Paxton and the rest of the group. But if I have to start with number one, that would be Scott Service.
I think the caller makes a good point, by the way, saying that the GM and the manager across baseball now are very tied together, though, because you select a manager based on the extent to which he's going to cooperate with your overall philosophy.
Totally
so
true.
Service and DePoto are definitely linked in that way.
206-421-3776. Grab Joseph, who is in Port Orchard. Good morning, Joseph.
Morning, guys.
What do you think here, man? What would you do?
So I think Scott Service, you got to keep him. Look what he's done managing this team with Cano, Cruz, managing Felix. He's done a great job managing it, and the wheels haven't come off despite everything that's happened. And then Jerry DePoto, I think you got to wait just to see if he's willing to make a decision either way, to be a buyer or to be a seller.
Yeah, I think the problem with that, put yourself in reality for a second. I think the problem is, I agree with some of the thought process there, but put yourself into a reality. Joseph, what do you do for a living?
Medical device sales.
Do you manage people?
No.
If you manage people, can you imagine the worker, the person under you getting the contract before you? the person that you hire and fire. It would be in baseball, especially in baseball, it would be such a shot at Jerry DePoto that my guess is he'd quit. Like, you'd lose him. And I'm not saying he definitely would, but there's plenty of people in baseball who would. There's guys in baseball who have quit just for being put in this position.
Who?
Jim Riggleman quit a few years ago rather than be a lame duck manager in Washington. Literally quit.
I thought you meant the GM.
No, but a manager who did. I'm not going to be a lame duck. I'm out.
That I understand.
I'm not going to play. I would rather not manage than manage as a lame duck. I quit. If you can't commit to me, I'm out. And Jerry DePoto nor Scott Service, neither one of them did it to their credit. If anything, both rose to the challenge. But if you were to extend Scott before Jerry, I think it would be a specific shot at Jerry DePoto. I don't see any reason to do that.
But they may think that they know what they're going to do with Service, but they're waiting just for that reason. And that's okay, too. Because I agree with you that you have to make a decision on DePoto first.
Yeah.
Or you have to extend him publicly first. But they may know that they want to keep Service.
I think
anyway.
They do. Yeah. I can't imagine any. But, you know, I want to hear from the people. 206-421-3776. Patrick is in Boston, Mass. What's up, Patrick?
Not much, guys. Just sitting around and waiting for the tea. So.
All right. There you go. What stop are you at?
I'm actually at Chiswick Road out near Boston College.
Oh, okay. Love it. On the sea line. Cool. Go for it. All right, what do you got?
Honestly, I think both Scott Service and Jerry DePoto are a package deal at this point. I think that both of them together create what is going on right now, especially through the continuity, through the organization, between the coaching staffs and everything. It's just, if you just keep Scott, if a new GM comes in, they might not gel as well as those two do. They have the right kind of mind between the two of them on what they want to do with this team. And I think what a lot of people kind of miss out on with what Jerry's done is given us an opportunity to not have to do a total rebuild and still kind of win for a few years and then be able to draft without having to get rid of people. I don't really think we need to tear anything down because we have a young core that we can keep around and keep winning around as well. And also we'll eventually have money to also supplement with veterans that play even better.
You know, a couple of callers now have brought up the idea that these two guys are tied to each other. I do think that there's something to that, but let's not forget that Scott Service, I think, is a good manager. I don't think that the only GM he can work with in this entire baseball universe is Jerry DePoto.
I would agree with that.
I think that he is very malleable.
But what GM is going to keep him necessarily?
I mean,
generally, the GM, one of the first things they want to do is hire their guy to be the manager, somebody who thinks the same way they do.
But who's to say that Scott Service can't be talked into
doing Y
as opposed to X?
Yeah, I don't know, because ultimately friction between your manager and your general manager is a recipe for disaster in baseball. You've seen it. I've seen it. And you said it a few minutes ago. If those two guys can't get along in the organization, you're destined to eventually have everything
understood,
come
apart. But it's not going to be – it's not necessarily one or the other. I mean, again, Scott Service, there are guys who have managed for different teams, different GMs. It's not just one philosophy that Scott Service is going to work on.
But are there a lot of managers that were left in place while the GM changes?
Maybe not.
There aren't too many. I mean, you get the Mike Socia situation or the Ron Gardenhire situation when they're there forever, and specifically with Socia, and it's actually led to major problems.
In some cases, but they've had more than a couple
of
GMs.
They've had three or four of them. You had Tony Riggins, you had DePoto himself, you had a couple different guys, and it's led to some problems because Socia has become such a big ego in that organization that sort of what he says ends up being more important than the GM, and I think that's part of their problem.
Yeah, Joe Torre did it under a couple different guys. I mean,
two,
three, actually. I think
was it?
He did it under Bob Watson, Cashman, and I think Gene Michael might have been there before that.
Maybe, but it's rare. Again, I think it's a rare situation, and generally, it's with guys like that who are. Sort of larger than life in some ways. The Joe Torres, the Mike Socias,
etc. Larger than life when he first got
there,
though.
Not at the very beginning. Fair point. Brad's in Mount Vernon. Good morning, Brad.
Yeah, when we talk about the Seahawks and what the Seahawks are doing, you look at Snyder and Carroll.
Okay.
Every now and then you get a pair that feed off each other, that have the same plan, the same ideas, feed off each other, and make each other better in what they do. And I think that's what we've got with the Mariners right now. You've got two people that are on the same page, working together and doing things uniquely, again, like the Seahawks. And we look back I mean, a lot of us have a hard time believing that the Mariners are not going to fall into the, you know, the losing streaks that they're famous for. But, you know, for the first time in a long time, these guys have the Mariners and the fans thinking that maybe the next game's going to be a win rather than thinking that it's going to be a loss. So, man, I tie those guys up because it's so easy to get a bad combination. Yeah. When you got something like what the Mariners have, man, tie them up.
Appreciate the phone call there, Brad. That's really good stuff.
How long would you extend them for?
Probably 3 years apiece. I mean, the good news is it doesn't really matter. The contracts that you give to
That's
a baseball
true.
Manager and GM, it's not like it's going to affect your budget.
Because the one thing he has ahead of him, I mean, forget about this year. The team is what it is this year, whether they win or lose. He's got to rebuild the farm system. That really hasn't, I mean, I don't want to say he hasn't addressed it at all, but that task has not been completed
no,
yet.
No, not even close.
If you're extending him, you're basically saying rebuild that.
I would agree with that. Sharon is in Seattle. Good morning, Sharon. What would you do here with Scott Servais?
If I were Scott Servais?
No, with him. I mean, what do you make of the idea of extending him?
I was just calling a response to something you said earlier that most of the people yesterday didn't, you know, on your poll didn't really support Scott. And I think it's because you don't, his personality at all does not come through. He just comes through as sort of dull and boring. And, you know, you interview him and he's so laid back that you get no sense of the man at all.
Hmm.
And, you know, so people aren't drawn to that.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised you would think that. I don't feel that way at all. I'm surprised to hear you say that.
But you've met him, and you probably have talked to him off the air or whatever, and maybe more of his personality comes through. But it certainly doesn't come through, at least to me, in watching him during a game or hearing him talk on the radio. He's just a non-entity. And I mean, and he's doing a good job, and I love the team, and I watch them all the time. But if he disappeared, I just sort of go, yeah.
Interesting. I appreciate the phone call, Sharon. Thank you. Thanks for weighing in. Look,
but we heard that. That was Scott's not the guy you want to go get a beer with.
Yeah.
We heard that when he was hired here.
We did hear that. In fact, I brought it up to him and said that's what I had kind of heard about him. But I didn't think it was about him being boring. That was more like he's just can't be kind of a guy's guy. And I think everything we've seen from him has been the opposite of that, that he's really been an engaging personality, especially with his team. But that's funny.
I can understand how the caller hasn't seen that, though. Look, the couple times that I've talked to him behind the scenes, he's way more engaging, obviously.
Really personable.
Obviously, he is.
That guy
because
swore
he's not
on our air. What else are you looking for?
Yeah, but he just let that slip.
Well, maybe if he does that on the Bob Gross and Tom show, you'll feel different. Like, then it'll really feel good for you.
I feel fine about him.
Okay, good.
But I don't think that he's necessarily he's not Joe Madden. He's not bringing rattlesnakes into the clubhouse or...
It's funny, though, he has done
like
more
magicians
of that stuff.
And he did bring like a reptile man.
He brought the mariachi band out to make fun of Leonis Martin on his birthday. He did the Mariner Olympics and stuff. I mean, I think he's actually done a lot of that stuff. He just doesn't make it all about himself the way Joe Madden has. I think it's an interesting point, an interesting conversation that she brings up.
You think
up.
Joe Madden, you know, you might be right about that. I'd have to think
a little
about
bit
that.
About
he
himself.
Makes it about himself?
A little
Is
bit.
Is he a little J.J. Watt?
A little, not a lot. I mean, Joe's, look, he's a great manager, and he's by all accounts a great guy.
Uh-huh.
And every time I've spent with him has been wonderful. So, not knocking him, but a little
He
bit.
Likes it.
He doesn't mind it.
Yeah.
He doesn't mind the spotlight. 206-421-3776. Phone line's jammed here. See if we can grab a whole bunch more of your calls on Scott Servais and the future of the Mariners is next. I'm Brock and Salk with Tom Wassel.
This is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
I like where we're at as a club. I like being the underdog a little bit. I think we need to get off to a good start to build momentum in our clubhouse, to build momentum in Safeco Field, and build momentum in this city. People are dying for a winner here. We're going to get it done. It's not going to be easy, okay? And there will be a 4 or 5 game losing streak in the mix. But from day one, I think we need to take a little bit different approach. It's not about just going out and competing. It's about taking it to the next level and winning.
One line open, 206-421-3776. Tom Wassel in for Brock in this hour, brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Been fun taking your calls on what the Mariners should do. They are in a weird situation where both their manager and general manager have a lame duck years. Neither one of them is signed for next year or beyond. I think both guys have performed pretty darn well. We spent some time yesterday on the Jerry DePoto side of it, and today talking about Scott Servais in particular, who I think I would give the lion's share of the credit to this great start that the Mariners have had. And I thought he did a great job last year just kind of holding it all together with, bailing wire and duct tape and whatever else he was using to...
Chicken wire? To bale hay?
I don't know.
Chicken wire is weaker.
I know, but I think you hold things together with baling wire.
Really?
I don't really know what that means, though, so I'm saying it without a lot of confidence.
I don't have much farming experience.
One of the farmers out there have to let us know.
Yeah, you bale. You bale. It could be a stack of wood. It could be
It's baling
hay.
Wire,
yeah,
right?
You bale.
Baling wire and duct tape.
I use catgut.
Cat gut? That's what you make racket strings out of.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
That's how you string a tennis racket.
It's pretty sturdy. Well,
maybe he used some of that too. I don't know. But regardless, I give him a lot of the credit. 206-421-3776. Scott is in Olympia. Hi, Scott.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not much.
Hey, I love Scott Servais. Scott Servais is, he's got that quiet confidence, and there's something about having a manager that has played or a coach that's played that give you that confidence, that swag. And I'll tell you, the moment that Scott Servais won me over, I can't remember if it was last year or his first year, but we're playing the Angels, and the Angels were plucking each other. The benches were about to clear, and Servais and Socha acts like he's walking up, and Servais gets to the top of the steps and points right at him like, yeah, let's bring it, let's go. And it's like you can play for that guy. You can get all your heart because he's got your back. He's going to call you out. It's like, our team's like a football team now. It's intense. These guys are screaming and yelling. They believe in each other. And they know, hey, that guy's with us. I love it. Sign it.
Thanks for the phone call, Scott. I like to hear people fired
up. I'm glad to hear that Servais has inspired somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's probably true of the feel of this team, though. But I might put more of that on D. Gordon and what he's gone out. Even when he's not involved in the play, he's jumping over he's on the field, out of the dugout.
They haven't even missed him since he got hurt. Tom, he's been out for 3 games. They've won all of them. They don't even care about D. Gordon.
But if we're talking about the
he didn't even go on the road trip, yet they're still winning. Forget D. Gordon.
Right,
the only constant is Scott.
He's forgotten.
I'm just kidding.
Scott should probably bat leadoff, too.
He very
play
well.
Second base.
I'll tell you what, you get 3 more injuries, he might just have to do that.
Activate himself.
My God.
Or activate Ichiro.
206-421-3776. At least Ichiro's already dressed for the occasion. DJ is in Lacey. Good morning, DJ. What's up?
Not much, guys. How you guys doing?
We're great, man. I'll tell you what, this is fun. And just being able to sit here with full phone lines, talking with you guys about the Mariners, a team that's playing the way they are. Look, I don't know if this is going to last. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. They got injuries and they got problems. And who knows if they can keep this thing going. And I understand some of the urge to be a little worried about the future. I am as well. I think they need to bring in more pitching. But, man, every night they just go out there and find a new way to win.
If they lose tonight, you're going to have empty phone lines tomorrow.
So what? So be it. But then you know what? They'll have won another series. They'll come back home and get to play some other lousy teams. And good for them. I love what they're doing. Sorry, DJ. Go ahead.
No worries. Hey, if you have empty phone lines, you'll just guilt us all into calling you tomorrow anyway.
I'm more than willing to do that. I am so willing to guilt you.
The Servais thing, I think it's great. I think re-sign him. Everything's going really well. It's nice to have this conversation right now being, 5, 6, 7 games above 500 instead of
10.
Looking at
10 games above 500.
Beautiful. Even better. But the thing about it is I keep on hearing a lot of people talk about his personality, and it's funny because I heard you guys talking to him, you and Brock, the other morning about the hat toss, and he was totally having a good time, completely chill guy. I think the problem is a lot of our Seattle Mariner fans is that we're just so used to seeing guys just Lou Piniella, the out there, seeing the just crazy red face, base throwing kind of guy. But, you guys also have to remember, I'm talking to the Seattle fans, you have to remember we had a guy like Bob Melvin. You see him last night? It looked like his wife just told him to go mow the lawn. He was just upset, man. Made him turn off the PGA Golf Channel and go mow the lawn. He just looked upset. And Servais is a great guy, and I love that culture that we have in the dugout right now. Absolutely. Sign him up. I'm with the guy in Olympia. Sign him up.
Appreciate it. And it is. You're probably right about that.
Bob Melvin needing to mow the lawn. Can you blame him managing in that stadium for 81 games a year?
They said that they brought in, 6,900 tickets sold last night. There couldn't have been 4,000 people there. That is so sad. That is not a baseball game. And if you are the manager of that bunch and every year you get good players and immediately the team ships them out of town, it's got to be a real frustrating gig for Bob Melvin. I don't blame him for being catatonic over there.
He's won everywhere he's been, though. At least a little bit. He's not a great manager, but he's at least done a little bit of winning
everywhere
he's
been. He's won a manager of the year, and he's a good manager. He's just in a bad spot.
Yeah.
No, the other part of it, of comparing everybody to Lou Piniella, the closest in the league there's been to Lou Piniella recently has been the guy who was here before Scott.
Lloyd McClendon.
And before that, Eric Wedge.
Yeah, I mean, those are sort of as close as you get, and neither of them had any particular success here.
Segura, talking about the service ejection last Friday on with Danny David Moore, he even mentioned Lou Piniella in talking about it.
Committed to the tantrum. It surprised me because I never see Scotty get angry like that. And and sometimes it make you laugh because, I mean, it's not normal to do that. Because you guys see Lou Piniella, he always do all the time. Okay, if he become Louis, he's going to get thrown out of the game. He's going to, throw helmets in the ground, hats, whatever. But to see Scotty do that, it's making me laugh because you normally see that. But it's good, when you see your manager going like that, it's because he care about what happens in the game. And it was a rough play. I mean, they tied the game at that moment. And I think it was a good moment to do that. And, when as a player, when you see your manager do that, it's because he cares about.
I'll tell you, I know this is a cut about the manager, but I'm going to turn it around and just make it about Gene Segura for a second. It is not with everybody, and especially with those that don't speak English as their first language, that you can hear their joy and smile through their voice on the radio.
Scotty, don't do that.
Gene Segura has like turned into a different human being this year.
What do you mean?
He is so joyful and so happy, and you can see it the way he's playing, the way he's acting. Did you see him last night when they threw the Andrioli ball in? So John Andrioli gets his first hit in the majors. They threw it into the dugout. Segura's in the on-deck circle, and he takes a fake swing at it. It's a minor thing. Like, that's not the funniest thing anyone's ever seen. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to, send him out on tour with Mike Birbiglia and Jim Gaffigan or something. But that sort of looseness, I don't know that I caught all of that from him last year. Did you?
No, but... winning has a lot to do with that, man. It really does.
It has a lot to do with winning.
Yeah, when you're winning, naturally you're happy about it. So as opposed to being 10 games.
Well, what I mean is maybe you're winning partially because of the guys like him and like D. Gordon and some of the joy that they bring to the ballpark every single day.
No, you're not.
All right, 206-421-3776. Grab one more here. You want Tyson, Eddie, or Greg?
Tyson, of course.
Of course you do. Why wouldn't you? Tyson, not only that, you've been hanging on the longest. Go ahead. Tyson's in Gig Harbor. Final word here.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Of course, you caught me right as I'm changing a diaper.
Why wouldn't you be?
Yeah, exactly. Listen, I think we should re-sign both of them together because I grew up here, but I spent quite a bit of time in Boston, and I kind of learned both ways of following sports because there's definitely a difference.
Sure.
And I feel like here in Seattle, we've always really enjoyed the players over the team and the atmosphere created by that. And quite frankly, Scott Servais and those guys have made it fun to watch the games again. And, we talk a lot about the Patriots, my way or the highway, but that wouldn't be fun to watch here in Seattle if we weren't winning. Lou Piniella being lightning in a bottle here. We, as Seattle sports fans, we just enjoy the atmosphere. We enjoy the personality. And we like having a good time at the games.
I appreciate the call there. It's funny. The Lou Piniella thing is like that. I mean, Lou is so popular here to this day. And I'll never forget being in the Rays clubhouse. This was years ago. I was covering the Red Sox. I was in the Rays visitors clubhouse. And it was the year after Lou Piniella had been there. And he was a disaster there.
Yeah.
With all young players, it was an epic disaster. And the next year, he was on TV doing something. And they had they had MLB Network or whatever it was on in the background. And somebody heard Lou's voice. I think it was Aubrey Huff, who started screaming. Get that bleep off fire. I want to hear that voice ever again. I mean, he was like legit mad. And not like he was making having a good time. It was like, I don't want to hear that voice.
Well,
get him off TV.
A guy like Lou Piniella is gonna go one way or the other. I mean, he fought Rob Dibble on camera in that clubhouse.
True.
Now Rob Dibble's no angel either.
He probably had it coming.
Yeah, Piniella, he was one of those Yankees. I mean, that's just how they do it.
All right, good stuff. Thanks for all the phone calls. We'll maybe come back to that a little bit later in the show, but it's good to hear all the passion coming out of the Mariner fan right now and some of the excitement about what's in the front office with both Scott and Jerry. I do think both deals will get done sometime before the All-Star break. We'll wait and see. Coming up next, though, time to buzz around the world of sports here and the good news, bad news, no news, including a Game 7, a Game 5, the UW. We got a lot going on. It's next on Brock and Salk.
It surprised me because I never see Scotty get angry like that.
Good news. Yeah! Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
It's good news, bad news, no news. Every day at 8:45, Wassel is in. There's few people I know who make me laugh like Tom. I know. I say that every time Tom is in here. There are few people I know who will put a smile on my face quite like Tom will. Lydia, Kyle, no Howdy today. He's out sick. What's in the news? Maybe that's why I'm happy. No Howdy here today.
That's not true.
Big contributor.
It's helping. It's relaxed around here. What's in the news?
The NFL's new anthem policy will give players the option of whether to be on the field for the anthem or stay in the locker room. However, teams will be subject to fines if players kneel on the field.
Tom, I dare you to call it no news.
No.
The president's commented on it, so no news.
Well, that's no news. But the problem is, I'm not sure if it's good or bad. Because it's neither. I don't think that this solves the problem completely. Obviously, there's controversy. That's all I'm seeing on Twitter here the next day, one day later. I do think it solves one issue, though. I think for the most part, we're not going to be seeing protests on the field.
That's an NFL issue. I mean, for a lot of people, that's meaning. For other people would argue and say that the specific issue is not being solved at all.
What is the specific issue? I've kind of lost track.
Depends who you're talking to.
Exactly. But the image of a guy kneeling, and I'm not saying that nobody will kneel, but presumably those guys will be in the locker room waiting to come out for the actual game. That's, to me, is what turns the fans off. When you get camera shots or you're in the stands and you're seeing that happen and people are booing, that sort of ugliness, that theoretically is gone. So
theoretically. And we'll wait and see. Yeah. I'm not sure that it will be gone when it's all said and done. I'm going to say that in many ways, it's all of the above, and depending on who you ask. I think it's been interesting to see one group saying that they've won, another group saying that they're being the victim here. I think that there was a compromise that went through, and I'm surprised that anybody's truly happy about it or upset. But I guess the thing that bothers me more than anything is the way the players were cut out of the process.
Yeah.
I think that was a major, major mistake
by
the NFL.
Can it be a compromise in that case then?
Well, I mean, I thought they came up with a compromise view where they're allowing players to do some of it. They're not allowing them to do all of it. I think if they had worked with the players to come up with this solution, it might have been a perfectly acceptable ending for everybody. But to cut the players out is so stupid. And if you heard Doug Baldwin on with Tom yesterday, Bob Gross and Tom, you heard him say exactly that. He wasn't complaining about the result. Doug immediately went to the process and said how disappointed he was that even after meeting one-on-one with Roger Goodell, the players weren't consulted. If you read the Players Association's thoughts on this, that was the first thing they said, too. Why were we cut out of this process? Why wasn't there a back and forth?
So
and I think that's a major, major mistake.
Did the league sort of skirt around the whole collective bargaining process? Because any fine
yes.
or penalty
yes.
inflicted on them is supposed to be...
They absolutely
team, yeah.
did.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, we're going to come back to this here in a few minutes. Of the six different
bullet points yeah.
I think the one that has gotten the least amount of attention is actually the worst of the six. We'll do it at 9 o'clock.
Good tease.
Good news, bad news, no news.
I was intrigued. I was
got a head shake for word.
The Mariners signed a 25-year lease to continue playing at Safeco Field. And actually, there's a couple of extensions, so I think they can end up playing there until 2049.
Well, that's great news, because I sure as heck don't want them to play anywhere else.
Somebody asked me where else they'd play.
Weather,
I suggest they get that ball field
have.
North of Green Lake. Like, I'm in. Come play near my house.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I don't want to deal with for the next 20 years. Another stadium issue.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, so great news.
And
love
by the
Safeco.
Way, the best news here is that Safeco still looks so good.
Yeah, it looks like it's brand new.
It really does. It is so impressive.
It looks brand new.
It's amazing. And I've been to some of the other stadiums around. Some look better than others. They have done an incredible job of upkeep on that stadium, continuing
and when we
to
sit
make
in
it
there,
modern.
Sorry.
Yeah. No,
before each, on those matinee games,
yes.
you see them pressure washing. They wipe down every single seat in that stadium between every game.
Do they go it's up remarkable. To like when they have 10,000, 15,000 people in some of those games and nobody's up in right field above the Hit It Here Cafe? Do they still go up and wash all that?
Probably.
They might.
That's impressive. That's why it looks so good. They do a good job with
it. I've
that
always
stuff.
Said that if this radio thing doesn't work out, I wouldn't mind being a member of the grounds crew. Over
really?
There. Yeah.
Be good at
like
that.
On a really nice day, I wouldn't yeah. be using my cat gut. To tie up the tarp.
Would you be willing? Would you be willing to do the dance breaks?
Yeah, I'd be willing to do that.
Okay,
but you said on a nice day.
You already do the guitar solo at
you get upset right. for people for dancing in public. So I would just wonder if it's like part of a coordinated thing, you'd be okay.
Yeah,
with.
If it's sponsored, I'm fine.
I gotta say, I think I see your guitar solo one more at Safeco than any other.
Really,
thing.
Air yeah. guitar solo.
I see
guy?
Tom so, Tom do air guitar
because
solo.
It's so believable.
Yeah, you do the little.
Bill and Ted thing?
The Bill and Ted. I think that's great. That's all we got to today? That's too bad. We still
what about this thing about academic progress at UW? I think that's wonderful.
What happened?
It's really... they led the Pac-12 in APR.
What's that mean?
Athlete retention. It's not necessarily graduation.
Not graduation,
but
right.
What number of recruits that you bring on campus that stay on campus.
And is that for the football team specifically?
This stat specifically is the football
that's
team
good.
Led the Pac-12.
I think beating out Stanford.
That's awesome and good for Chris Peterson. I think that stuff's pretty important. That's a credit to him.
Yeah, people actually, you know, taking advantage of an educational opportunity. Yeah. Wonderful.
I'm
wonderful.
Really surprised that that's gotten better since Steve Sarkisian was here. That's really weird. I never would have seen all that coming, going from Sark to...
He doesn't read the internet, guys.
How could he? He doesn't even know what it is. I mean, he was the first coach of the Twitter feed and all that, but he didn't even know what the internet was.
No.
What a genuine dude. All right, it's Brock and Salk. Tom Wassel is in. If you miss any of this, you can always catch it, of course, on the 710 Sports app. It is driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. I promised that we were going to give away tickets, and I didn't do that, so that's on me. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to go see the Mariners. We'll do that coming up next, and I'll tell you why, of all of the six little bullet points to this new NFL policy, the one that has been talked about the least might be the worst. It's next on Brock and Salk.
I don't read the internet, guys.